From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Friday, May 1st, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Thousands of Charlotte area students have the day off from school today as teachers across the state hold a protest in Raleigh for higher teacher pay and more school funding. The May Day March is being organized in part by the North Carolina Association of Educators. The group says 21 North Carolina school districts are closing or modifying their schedule because of the planned protest. The group says North Carolina ranks 46th in the nation in both average teacher pay and spending per pupil. North Carolina's Medicaid program is now funded through the end of the year. Adam Wagner reports from Raleigh.
Governor Josh Stein signed legislation Thursday, giving the state's Medicaid program $319 million he and health officials have been requesting for months. The funding comes even as the state is looking at its 26-27 fiscal year, one where the Medicaid cost adjustment could reach $1 billion. Here's Stein, a Democrat.
Let's get Medicaid funding done for this year, and we're almost in next year already. And then let's work together as we contain costs for healthcare over the longer term. That's how we will ensure a sustainable program that keeps North Carolinians healthy.
Stein criticized a three-month employment look-back period for new applicants that is more onerous than federal mandates, and a provision that he says will make 27,000 children and pregnant women ineligible for Medicaid. Senate Republicans say they don't believe anyone's eligibility changed with this bill, but are committed to working on it if people are impacted. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capitol Bureau.
North Carolina has reached an $11 million settlement with the company that markets and distributes the EpiPen. Kenneth Lee reports.
North Carolina Attorney General Jeff Jackson and State Treasurer Brad Briner announced a settlement with Mylan, a U.S. marketer and distributor of EpiPen. Jackson and Briner allege Mylan used anti-competitive tactics to drive up prices and say the agreement will reduce out-of-pocket costs for families. Between 2007 and 2016, the cost of a two-pack of EpiPens rose from about $100 to $600. At a news conference, Jackson said the company worked to block lower-cost alternatives.
They also used the patent system to try and prevent other cheaper generic drugs from entering the market, and they engaged in marketing campaigns against the other cheaper drugs that were already on the market and made a bunch of misleading claims about those.
Briner says the North Carolina State Health Plan and North Carolina Medicaid will each receive $4.2 million. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
The University of North Carolina system has awarded nearly $6.5 million to expand healthcare workforce training programs in rural parts of the state. WFDD's David Ford reports.
The General Assembly established the Rural Residency Medical Education and Training Fund 3 years ago to train more healthcare providers and connect them to communities in need. Appalachian State University's Beaver College of Health Sciences received 4 grants to support programs including social work and behavioral health. The Mountain Area Health Education Center will apply its new funding toward pharmacist residency training, expanding its statewide rural fellowship and family medicine program in the Boone area. CEO Dr. William Hathaway says caring for complex patients with special needs and intellectual disabilities requires expertise.
Not every physician who's trained in family medicine or primary care is adept at that. And so we have faculty members on our campus and in the Boone area who will be focusing on training residents to develop those skills so that they can go serve their communities.
Hathaway says that the grant will impact patients directly by offering services where they don't currently exist. I'm David Ford.
The Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office is responding to claims from the National Association for Upward Mobility that some jail inmates are being forced to sleep on the floor. In a released video, Major Anthony Dura said that's not true.
Due to the current population levels within the facility, some residents may be assigned to stacker bunks, accommodations which are approved sleeping arrangements used in correctional facilities. Residents assigned to these bunks are provided a mattress, sheets, a blanket, and a pillow.
Dura also said that claims the jail was out of toilet paper are untrue and showed a video of stacked cases. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board of Education will hold a budget workshop Saturday morning at 8 in the Government Center after the board voted against adopting Superintendent Crystal Hill's budget proposal earlier this week. James Farrell has more.
Tuesday's vote appeared to catch Superintendent Crystal Hill off guard and unsure of how to amend her spending plan before the board's March 12th deadline. Board Chair Stephanie Sneed says tomorrow's meeting will provide that direction. Sneed told WFAE on Thursday that she believes the budget isn't that far off.
It is not a complete overhaul. That's why I'm confident that we'll get there and get there timely. We just want to make sure that we're in alignment and we are getting the best options possible.
Board members outlined few specific objections to the budget at Tuesday's meeting, but generally pointed to concerns about student mental health, teacher resources, and closing achievement gaps. They also raised questions about a $2.4 million program called Capturing Kids' Hearts. Some members suggested they were dissatisfied with staff answers to their questions. Public records show board members submitted numerous questions to staff ahead of Tuesday's meeting, with some, specifically around teacher allotments, left unanswered. James Farrell, WFAE News.
The latest North Carolina Drought Monitor report is out. It shows that eastern Mecklenburg, southern Cabarrus, western Stanley, and much of Union County have moved into the exceptional drought category, the worst classification. More than half of North Carolina is now in extreme drought, the second highest category. After so many dry months, Mecklenburg County soils and gardeners might welcome a little tropical activity. But despite forecasts that predict a below-average hurricane season, local officials are encouraging residents to prepare. Zachary Turner has more.
The Atlantic hurricane season begins June 1st. But Paige Grandy, Public Information Officer for Charlotte-Mecklenburg Emergency Management, says now is the time to start preparing. She recommends making an emergency kit filled with water, food, and medicine before hurricane season officially starts.
If the roads were closed or flooded and you couldn't leave your house for many days, just think about the things that you would need.
Hurricane Helene devastated parts of Mecklenburg County along the Catawba River in 2024, leveling homes and cutting power. Grandy says to go over evacuation routes ahead of time. Her other suggestion? Buy a radio.
Communications were out. There was no cell service, there was no internet, there was no cable, there was pretty much nothing. And the only thing that really worked was radio.
Anyone can sign up for the county's emergency notification system, CharMec Alerts, at charlottenc.gov. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Duke Energy is offering grants of more than $3.5 million for fish and wildlife habitat enhancement projects along the Catawba Watery River. This year, $2.2 million will be available for North Carolina projects, $1.3 million in South Carolina. The Catawba Watery Habitat Enhancement Program will fund projects that create, enhance, and protect fish and wildlife habitats. Nonprofits seeking funds need to apply for the program by July 31st to be considered. A workshop this weekend in Charlotte will focus on helping Latino families navigate college education and financial aid. Julian Berger has more.
Despertando el Sueño Americano will connect families with information on how to pay for college and access financial aid. There will also be resources on home ownership, credit, and building long-term wealth. The workshop is hosted by Buenas Finanzas and will feature Central Piedmont Community College, College for North Carolina, and Sharon View Financial Credit Union. Julie Rodriguez of Buenas Finanzas says the goal is to create a space where families feel comfortable asking questions.
Our families don't know about some of these resources, or they're just afraid to reach out and learn about them because they don't know if there's going to be different repercussions, right, or misinformation.
The event will take place Saturday at Myers Park Presbyterian Church. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
A vacant building next to the Collinswood Language Academy off Tivola Road that had prompted community concern about drug use and squatters is poised to become an affordable housing development, with some of that housing reserved for teachers. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board of Education voted this week to declare the site a surplus and sell it to Mecklenburg County for around $7 million, which would include up to $2.5 million for demolition of the building, which was the former Smith Family Learning Center. The county would develop affordable housing on the property and reserve 20% of the units for teachers. Home sales fell in March at the start of the crucial spring selling season. Canopy, the Charlotte Area Realtor Association, said Thursday that the number of sales was down more than 5% in March from the same time a year ago. The average price of a home sold in Mecklenburg County fell more than 5%, though it's still over $602,000. Across the wider Charlotte region, the average price was flat year over year, up less than a half a percentage point. Since 2015, at least 100 people suffering from mental illness have died in South Carolina jails. Some died from severe dehydration and medical neglect while waiting an average of 8 months to receive treatment intended to restore their mental competency. Those are some of the findings of a new five-part investigative series by the Post and Courier of Charleston, examining a deadly jailhouse mental health crisis. Their series is called Caught in the Cycle. Jocelyn Greshick is one of the reporters behind the series and spoke with our Marshall Terry.
Give me a brief overview of the cycle that these defendants find themselves caught in.
All of them start out at some point in the community. South Carolina just lacks resources at this community level. You know, we rank near the bottom in psychiatric facilities and in mental health care spending. And so as a result, many of these people we found wind up seeing a police officer before they might encounter a doctor or a mental health professional. And then they go to jail, and that environment can really trigger a lot of symptoms of serious mental illnesses. And their defense attorney will raise questions about their competency or ability to stand trial, which they have an ethical obligation to do. But in South Carolina, we effectively only provide that service in the state's singular state hospital. So these people are waiting an additional 8 months behind bars on average just to get that treatment. They're really not being set up for success when they're ultimately returned to the community, where the vast majority of them wind back up, still without any sort of long-term help, and then the cycle just repeats itself.
Is there any specific story of an individual that stood out to you that you could share?
One man, he had been charged with stealing two beers from a gas station, which normally would be a misdemeanor with a 30-day jail sentence. But because this person had been charged with shoplifting several times before, it was bumped up to a felony with a 10-year maximum sentence. And we had obtained his psychiatric evaluation for a previous criminal case where his competency was questioned. And from that evaluation, we learned about his longtime struggles with schizophrenia and alcohol use. And so back in court, my colleague listened as the judge and this man's defense attorney went back and forth about his sentence. And the judge expressed, you know, that what he really needed was stable housing and mental health treatment. And, you know, I'm not sure he was ever connected with those resources, because about 3 weeks after his release, he was back in jail on a public drunkenness charge. And so I think that story really demonstrates the cyclical nature of this problem.
What are some of the other key findings of your investigation?
The more than 100 inmates with mental health concerns who have died in county jails since 2015, we also discovered that South Carolina has paid out more than $25 million in the last decade in settlements to compensate the families of those people who have died, and that's taxpayer money. Another thing that struck me is the fact that competency restoration treatment is not equal to or a replacement for comprehensive mental health care, and it really was never designed to be.
North Carolina recently passed a law requiring sheriffs to hold in jail more people who have been arrested and are awaiting mental health evaluation or treatment. Are there any cautionary lessons for North Carolina, you think, from this?
My first concern, if I were a sheriff in North Carolina, would be the increased pressure that I think will undoubtedly come from their jail holding more inmates who have mental health concerns. We know that jails are just not good environments for the mentally ill. And the longer these inmates are kept waiting, the worse it becomes for them, and then by default, everyone else. And so I think taxpayers end up paying the price in many ways.
Okay, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's reporter Jocelyn Greshick with the Post and Courier of Charleston, talking about the paper's series, Caught in the Cycle.
And for Friday, May 1st, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.